Joe, would you please talk to us about this wonderful movie that you're affiliated with that everyone loves?
Crystal, I have to say that Somewhere in Time is truly a phenomenon. It is a movie that is beloved by people all over the world. And it was made in Chicago and mostly on Mackinac Island in 1979. It was released in 1980. And it is considered by its aficionados as being the most romantic love story ever filmed.
I've heard many people say that. I really have. And it is just, I know it took my breath away. I was young when it came out. I won't say how old because I don't date myself. But I remember even as a kid watching this movie, it had an effect on me. Mm-hmm. So what do you think it is about Somewhere in Time that does this to people?
That's a very good question. And I've been asked that before. And I think it comes down to two things. The movie is about finding the one. And everyone wants to find the one. Every man wants to find his Elise, and every woman wants to find her Richard. And so on that level, it really touches people. And never make the conclusion that Somewhere in Time is a chick flick, because fully 50% of the fans are men. It's told entirely from the man's point of view. So it's really Richard's story, and that's why men relate to it. Men of a certain heart. And that is what I was going to lead in the second thing. I think that beyond being a very beautiful film to look at and a wonderful story and great music and a perfectly beautiful setting, of course, it does have a message of hope. It's one of those movies that, you know, if you have not yet found the one, it gives you hope that you yet will. If you have found the one, it makes you realize how special that is, with the hope that it will last forever. And if you've lost the one you love, it gives you hope that you'll find them again. So it really transcends a typical piece of entertainment, and it really goes into the heart of a person. And I've met literally thousands of Somewhere in Time fans over the years, and I've had correspondence through the Somewhere in Time movie website, which I authored, with thousands more worldwide. And I can speak for these people because I've learned that even though they are of all different ages, all different ethnic backgrounds, and both sexes, they all have a certain type of heart. So if you love Somewhere in Time, there's a lot about you I already know. You know, you're probably very romantic at heart. You have old-fashioned values. You believe in true love and commitment, and you feel displaced in this violent and chaotic world, and you wish for a better one.
That's really good. I'm impressed. That's really true, and I never thought about that. But so there's a profile.
Definitely.
Of a Somewhere in Time movie lover.
That's absolutely true. And so I feel very privileged to have worked on the film myself for 3 glorious weeks. I became friends with Christopher Reeve. I was friends with him for 25 years before he died. I'm still friends with Jane Seymour, and I know all of the creators of the film. And then even now through to time, here I am in the center. I get to sit in the center of this phenomenon, and I'm bridging those people with all of its fans. So I'm sort of what you might call the keeper of the flame. And so it's a wonderful place to sit. You know, I'm in the middle of this amazing phenomenon. Here we are, 35 years later, still talking about this amazing film. You know, most people can't remember what movie won the Academy Award for Best Picture last year. And here we are, still talking and celebrating Somewhere in Time. We have this amazing fan society called Insight. It's the International Network of Somewhere in Time Enthusiasts. It's INSITE. And I didn't found the fan society. It was founded by a man, Bill Shepard, in California in 1990, 10 years after the movie had come out. And so this is our 25th year. Actually, 2014 was our 25th year. And we've had 24 annual Somewhere in Time weekends at Grand Hotel. And we dress in period clothes, and we honor and celebrate the film. And this year, 2015, October 16th through 18th, will be the 25th annual Somewhere in Time weekend, celebrating the 35th anniversary of the film. So it's going to be a big one.
If I'm not mistaken, too, not meaning to interrupt you, but I believe that that's Sweetest Day weekend here in Michigan.
Is it really?
In the Midwest area. It is, because it's always the second Saturday in October, and it's also the day after my birthday, so that's really cool.
Oh, well, no wonder you would be on top of that. Well,
yes.
I didn't know that, but I'll tell you what, it's amazing that all of this is sort of, you know, gelling in 2015. So I get to write this beautiful quarterly journal about the film. We keep the fans together. We keep them informed about all aspects of the film. We have this amazing annual weekend. So it's an amazing thing because I feel very privileged to serve that sort of person. I think they're sort of the cream of society, the people who love Somewhere in Time. That's my feeling.
I agree with you because I'm one of them. I want to ask you this because I know our listeners are going to want to know this. How did you get involved in this wonderful project?
Well, you know, I know it's really odd for a fan society president to have worked on a movie herself, but I did, and I never had done a film before, and I had this very amazing experience. I fell into the working on the film under a very weird set of circumstances. You can read my story on the Somewhere in Time website. It's called Barely in Time, and I literally went to watch and watch the filming being done from Chicago, and I'll just give you the quick gist. It was such an amazing thing because through a series of circumstances, I ended up being put in an outfit, in a carriage, and on my way to the ball, like Cinderella. And I was working on the big ballroom scene. That was the first day at night I worked on the film. Actually, I had two nights. I got to be one of the dancers on the dance floor. In fact, I showed Chris how to do the dance. It was such an amazing thing. So if you read my story, you'll really understand what it was like for me to fall into this incredible experience and to be able to watch this beautiful movie being created. So my story is not so much about me, but it's about Chris and Jane, certainly, and it's about watching this beautiful piece of cinema being created and what that was really like. I worked on the film for 3 weeks. I wore 5 different costumes in the film, and I'm in all the 1912 scenes with people, except for the park scene. I was just watching that day. But it's, for me, it was the beginning of a completely different life. I have had a completely different life since I worked on Somewhere in Time. It's changed my life. I didn't know it would, but it changed my life in so many remarkable ways. I became a published writer. I became a fan society president. I became an antique dealer, and I actually became a commercial actress. I was a commercial actress for 19 years in Chicago after that. I'd only been in radio before that. And so when I think about it, it completely changed my life. So I'm very motivated to give back to the film everything that it gave to me.
Now, you were talking to me about the scenes you were in, so that when our listeners hear, they'll be looking for you when they see the movie this weekend. Where were you? Tell us what you did.
Well, I show up 10 times in the film, if you know where to look. I've brought a picture of me on the dance floor, which I just got, actually. It's something I've just acquired. I actually, like I said, I show up a lot. Well, actually, one of the other places to see me is in the theater scene, where Chris is getting the note and he's watching the wonderful soliloquy. I am 2 rows behind Chris. There's a blonde man behind him, young blonde man, and I'm just beyond to the left of him, and I have a feather on the side of my head. So that's another good place to see me. I mean, there's a lot of places, but I think I just leave it at that.
Well, our listeners will be playing now, Can You Find Joe?
Yeah.
With the Waldo?
Yep.
So we'll be looking for you. Now, this is something else I know a lot of people will want to ask you, because it's something that I would want to ask you, and that is, what was it like working with Christopher Reeve? And we'll talk about Jane next, but Christopher Reeve.
You know, I get kind of verklempt when I think about Chris, because he was one of the most amazing people I have ever, ever, ever met. He literally gave off positive energy. He was totally unaware of how handsome he was. He had a wonderful childlike enthusiasm about whatever he was involved in. I never heard him say a negative thing. He literally was the sort of person who you couldn't help but like. You know, he literally had what I would, you know, that rare quality of magnetism that people have occasionally and through time have talked about. I would say definitely he had magnetism, because you could not help but like him. In fact, I found myself many times, because I always I had been certainly already a fan from Superman, just being around him, you'd be like, is he for real? You know, you'd like, you know, is he really real? Because he was that marvelous in terms of being around him. And he was so focused on people. I love to tell this story. This is a very key story about Chris, because it happened more than once. But this is very important, I think. And I think the listeners might find this very interesting. There were these two brothers, Paul and Bill. They first saw Chris in his big break on Broadway with Katharine Hepburn, and he was doing A Matter of Gravity. And they waited for him backstage. They were impressed with him. So they waited backstage to meet him. They met him. He came out. One of the brothers was wearing his, he was on leave, so he was wearing his Air Force uniform. And they started talking about flying and planes and so forth, because Chris loved that. And so they, you know, they had a nice chat for just a few minutes, and then he shook both their hands, and he went off. And 9 years later, the brothers went back and saw him in another play on Broadway. And this time, 9 years after, the other brother didn't have his uniform on anymore. They went backstage, they waited for him. He came out. He looked at them. He said, "Oh, I know you guys. Paul and Bill, right? Are you still jumping out of perfectly good airplanes?" Yeah. 9 years later.
And that puts me to shame really now, seeing that I messed up Brian, and it hasn't been 9 years. But anyway, go on.
You know, and I think this is a really key aspect of Christopher Reeve. He was so focused on other people that he remembered people that he met once. And you have to think about how many thousands of people he'd met in that 9 year period. So can you imagine being around a person like that? It really shows you how focused he was on other people. Now, I tend to hear from people all the time, "Oh, how tragic it was that he got paralyzed. Oh, how tragic it was he died. It was, oh, how tragic, and his wife died after." And, oh, yes, totally. I absolutely agree. It was unbelievably tragic. However, I try to, because Chris always looked for positive things, and I always try to look for one positive thing in there. And I think, unfortunately, through his paralysis, the world got to see what an amazing person Christopher Reeve was and still is in all of our hearts, and the things that he accomplished after he was paralyzed that will affect paralysis victims from now on. The research that he pulled together, the things that he did, the things that he was able to accomplish are really remarkable, and we should continue to talk about him. We should continue to watch his films. We should continue to honor him, because he was an amazing human being.
Wow, sounds like it. But, you know, one thing that I always say, and that is, you cannot, when you're in television or anywhere on the screen, you cannot hide who you are in here. It comes out. And I could see that. I could just see
that's
that
very
in
true.
Him. Yeah. Now let's talk about Jane. Mm-hmm. What was she like?
Jane is a consummate professional and a warm, genuine person with great integrity. She has multiple talents. She is a whirlwind of energy. I cannot believe this woman, the things that she can do in a month. And not only is she a wonderful performer, certainly a great actress, beautiful woman, but she is a great designer. She's a great artist, and she does a lot of work for charity. And she's continued to be inspired by Chris in that regard. I mean, she was already doing all of that charity work before that, but she continues to do that and has raised a lot of money for various charities. And that's one of the things I love about Jane, because she uses her celebrity to help people. And you can't say that about everyone who has celebrity, especially young people, young ones. They're all about themselves. And I think we need to talk about that a little bit and need to address that a little bit, because when you have celebrity, you can accomplish a lot. And that's something that Jane does.
I totally agree with that. We're going to wrap this up, and I'd like to end with this. What, and this is probably, I should have warned you that I was going to ask this question. What was your favorite scene?
Oh, my goodness. My favorite scene is where they are reunited on the stairs. That is my favorite scene, when he thinks he's lost her, and she thinks she can't find him. She doesn't know what happened to him. And they find each other and they run to each other on the staircase. I love that piece.
I think probably a million trillion people would agree with you on
and
that.
I will say this, Crystal, the kiss in Somewhere in Time is the most romantic kiss ever put on film. And I got to watch that. I was peeking between scenery pieces, and I got to watch that scene being filmed, and it took my breath away. It was absolutely just gorgeous. Now, you know, we're going to have this big Valentine's Day screening of Somewhere in Time at the Redford Theater this weekend, and that's why I'm here. It's very exciting to have it on Valentine's Day. I've been here before, years ago, for the Somewhere in Time screenings at the Redford, but we're doing it on Valentine's Day, so we're going to celebrate romance.
I think that would be wonderful. It has been such a joy talking with you, Joe. It really has.
Thank you.
And I hope our listeners will come down and support this wonderful, wonderful film at this classic, wonderful historic theater. We call it our Gem of Detroit. So
we have the doors opening at 7 o'clock tonight for our Friday night showing, and we have two showings tomorrow on Saturday. We have the matinee, and we have the evening performance, too. So come on down. We have some special things making it festive. I have the official Somewhere in Time collectibles on display and for sale. We're going to have, of course, the organ played and that wonderful concert feature that the Redford always offers. And then we'll be doing some special things. Actually, I'm bringing a piece of edited material. It's only 9.5 minutes long, but it shows Chris enjoying himself at the Somewhere in Time weekend, Jane having joined us, the writer, the director. My husband and I have produced 7 full-length documentaries that chronicle the legacy of the movie. And this is a very tiny but very important edited piece. We're going to show that after the showings.
And will you be there to talk and engage the audience? Great. And probably sign autographs, I'm sure.
Oh, well, if they want,
I'm sure they will. All right. Thank you again, Joe, for coming down. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.